Today's shir is Masechta Zochen Daf Kuf Yud Ches. We will begin in Daf Kuf Yud Zayin. Amud Beis, five lines from the bottom. Amamar. In our previous shir, at the bottom half of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, the Gemara quoted a brisa with no less than four opinions of during the 14 years that Klal Yisrael, the first 14 years that Klal Yisrael were in Eretz Yisrael, and the Mishkan was in Gilgal, which kabbanos were permitted where? And the Chacham said that kol shetzibur makrivim ba'oil, the opinion was that the carbon oil of Ishlamim were only the only kabbanos that they could bring on the Bamas Yochid were oil and Shlamim, but they hold that the Tzibur could bring any obligation that they have on the Bama Gedoyla. Ask the Gemara, my Tama, the Rabbanan, what is the basis of the Rabbanan's opinion? Omakra, the Pasuk says, Ish, Moshe Rabbeinu tells Klal Yisrael as they're entering into Klal Yisrael, Ish, Kolayosha Be'enov, to teach us, Ish, that a person bringing a carbon Yochid, that's the only carbon, hayosher, which means carbon that he made ornate. Ish yashus hu delikrif. A individual only had the right to bring carbonus that come with a nedava, which, as we discussed in the previous year, mean oilus and shlamim. Chayvus, but when it comes to a chayva, the aloch is loy likrif. He can't bring his obligation, not on a bamas yochid, and not even an abomas tzibur, which, as we said in the previous shiur, would mean a chatos, an osham, that only come because the person is obligated to bring those kabbonis in the time of Gilgal, cannot be brought anywhere. The tzibur, however, the tzibur, afil chayvus likrif. The tzibur, any chayvus tzibur that exists, you have to bring, which means that you could only bring a chayv, that's a chayv tzibur, but unlike the opinion of Rav Shimon, whose opinion we're going to discuss in a moment, that even the chayvus that could be brought on the bamas tzibur are only chayvus hakavu lahem zman, the opinion of the Rabbanon is that any chayvus that are obligated by the tzibur, whether they're kavu lahem zman, like the carbon tamid, which comes every morning, or the carbon of a parhelm dovish or tzibur, or the other carbon that we learned in Masech Tahariyos, if most of the tzibur worshipped Avodah Zarah based on erroneous psak or bezdin, that could come on the bamas tzibur. Rabbi Yehuda is even more lenient. We learned in the previous year. Rabbi Yehuda's opinion was that even though on a bamas yochid, the only kabbanos that could be brought are carbon nedava, oil of shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda says that a yachid could bring on the bamas tzibur, on the bama in Gilgal, he could bring his chayv, the chatas and asham. Rabbi Yehuda amalach, how does Rabbi Yehuda define the pasuk? Kiksiv hayasher. When does the Torah mention the word yasher? We have to read the word on the side. Ad einav hudiksiv. Dafka, when he's speaking to his bamas yochid, ava b'bama g'dayla, if we're speaking about the b'bama g'dayla, there, says Rabbi Yehuda, afilu chayvus nami likrif. Not only could he bring his oil of shlamim there, but he could even bring his chatos v'nasham. Ask the Gemara, Ella, huksiv ish, and Rashi explains the Gemara's kasha. If that's what the pasuk says, why does the Torah reuse the word ish? Lav lememra. Isn't the Torah teaching us the ish that in the time of the bama in Gilgal, yashus hu delikrif, he only may bring carbon nedava, oil of shlamim, hachayvus, chatas for asham, loy likrif. He may not bring the carbon chayva ever, not in the bama siyachid, and not even in the bama tzibur. Answers the Gemara, that's not what that pasuk is coming to teach us. Kiksev ish, the purpose of the word ish is to teach us lahachshir sazar. Even though the halacha is that the avodah on the mizbeach must be done by a kohen, the avodah on the bama may be done even by a zar. And just to repeat, I think we discussed this previously, machloikas achrayim, who is included in the category of zar? Would that even include noshim? Machloikas achrayim. Interesting opinion that I saw from the Tzofnes Paneach, the Ragachover, he differentiates between a bamas yochid and a bamas tzibur. And he says that women were allowed to bring kabanas on a bamas yochid, but they weren't allowed to bring kabanas on the bamas tzibur. Ask the Gemara, is that what Rabbi Yehuda learns from that pasuk, the word ish, to teach us on a bama, we need not have a kayin? That we learn from a different pasuk. Don't we learn that from the pasuk that says v'zark a kayin as adam a mizbeach Hashem nafka? That the pasuk says that the mizbeach Hashem we need a kayin, but not by the bama. So I don't need the ish to teach me that halacha. Answers the Gemara, if we only had the pasuk, says Rabbi Yehuda, of the Zorak Akoinus Adam Mizbeach Hashem, we would say that yes, a Zor may do the Avodah on a Bama. But what kind of Zor may do the Avodah on a Bama? The boy Kiddush Bechayrus Kimikar. He has to be a person who's designated. And this follows, Pshat in the Gemara follows a Pshat that we said when we began learning the Sugya about Bechayrim. And we said that the word Bechar doesn't specifically mean a firstborn. Doesn't necessarily mean a firstborn. It means a distinguished individual. And therefore, says the Gemara, maybe if we only had that pasuk, says Rabbi Yehuda, we would think that a distinguished individual is required. It can't just be anyone. And again, as I said, I think previously in Ashir, that is how we could understand the entire parsha of Esav selling the Bechara to Yaakov. You can't sell a biological fact. But if we say the definition of Bechora is not specifically firstborn, it means who is the choshev person, Yaakov was saying to Esav, I'm more choshev than you are. And therefore, if I only had that pasuk, you don't need a kayin, but you need a distinguished individual. Kamash Malan, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says the word ish comes to teach us that anybody could do the avoida, certainly in a bama ketana. Before we go further, I saw a Gvald Gvart from Reb Zalman Sorotsk and Zlotzka Rav, the Sefer Maznaim L'Taira. He says, look how we change perspective over the generations. If somebody were to use the words in our vocabulary, Bezman Hazeh, Ish HaYoshev Einov, how would we define Ish HaYoshev Einov? Everybody does what he wants. How does the Gemara define Ish HaYoshev Einov? Bringing carbon nedava. Look what happened to what we think Yosha is. Now Yosha means you could do what you want. And the Gemara assumes Yosha means you bring your carbon. Ask the Gemara, and we mentioned this Gemara in the previous year, Hacham HaNatanakama. Quickly to review what we learned on the bottom of Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph in the previous year. We learned no less the four opinions of Tanon. Rameya, which was the first opinion, said that in a bamas yachid, you could only bring a carbon which was a nedava. He said that included an oila shlamim, and a mincha, and a naziris. Naziris we spoke about at the end of yesterday's shiur. The chachamim were a little more limited. They said it only includes an oila v'shlamim. Rabbi Yehuda, who we just discussed, says that no. On a bamas tzibur, not only a carbon tzibur brought, but a carbon chayva could be brought as well. And then we had the opinion of the Chachamim, koshat tziva makriven ba'al moed sheba midbar, makriven ba'al moed sheba gilgal. That no, the only kabbanis you could bring on the bamas tziva, a chayvas tziva. So isn't that the exact same opinion that the Chachamim said before, the ones that were arguing Rameya? And therefore the Gemara's question is, Chacham ha'natanakama. The opinion of the Chachamim, the fourth opinion stated by the Chachamim, and the second opinion stated by the Chachamim is identical. So why is the Braisa presenting itself as if the two opinions of the Chachamim are not the same, where they're exactly the same? Answers the Gemara, there is a nafkamina. We discussed the other day, on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph, Machloikis Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Kiva. The Torah, when it speaks about the Pasha and the Sochim, begins with the word Kisavo al Eretz Moshe Vaisechem. The Machlokes had to understand that Pasuk. One opinion was that until the Mishkan and Shiloh was erected, there were no Nesachim, not in the Midbar, nor in Gilgal. The other opinion said that no, that there were already Nesachim in the Midbar, and the Torah, when it uses the word Kisaval Eretz Moshe Vaisechem, is teaching us, as we have been learning, that when you during those 14 years, those first 14 years that we were in Eretz Yisrael, that we were allowed to have bummas. When we have a bumma during those 14 years, you could bring the sachem on that bumma. Says the Gemara, that is the nafkamina between the two chachamim. The first chachamim in the Braisa quoted, hold, there were no nesachem until they got to Shiloh. So what is permitted on the bumma ketana? Oil and shlomim. No more. The second chacham are the man, the omer that hold, they were already nesachem in the midbar, and so too were nesachem permitted during those first 14 years that they arrived here to Israel on the Bama. And the Rishonim say, now we can appreciate the wording of the second Chachamim. Let's look at their words. What were the words of the second Chachamim? Kol shatzibur makrivim ba'ayil moed. Kol! Let's examine what they brought in the ayil moed. What did they bring? They brought in the Sachim. Makrivim ba'ayil moed Gilgal. They continued bringing it in Gilgal. I want to also make a very important point, not my point, the Mefarshim all make this point. We had already in the Mishnah, we're going to have it in the Gemara in a moment, a debate, Machlokes Tanaim, if Karban Mincha was brought on the Bama. Say the Mefarshim, that has nothing to do with the Gemara we just learned. Even if you're of the opinion that Karban Mincha is not brought on the Bama, that has nothing to do with Minchas Nesachim. Minchas Nesachim, this is a nice introduction to Masechet Menachos, we're about to begin, have nothing to do with the Karban Mincha. Meaning, if we really think about it in a very broad way, there are three separate categories. There's a Minchas Nedavah, somebody donates a Karban Mincha. There's a Minchas Chayva, where somebody's obligated to bring a Karban Mincha. And then there's a third category, Minchas Nesachim, that the Torah requires that when you bring a Karban based on the animal and the size of the animal, you have to bring a certain amount of wine, and you have to bring a certain type of mincha with a certain amount of flour and oil. Says Al Gemara, that even if we'll say that there were no minchas chayva or minchas nedava on the bama, that has nothing to do with minchas nesachim. Minchas nesachim, there certainly were. And the Mefarshim go on to say, certainly the wine part, which is different than the regular karban mincha, the nischa yayin, apply to the Bama, even though Mincha doesn't. But they even go on to say that the Karban Mincha has nothing to do with Minchas Chayv and Minchas Nedava. It could well be Minchas Chayv and Minchas Nedava were not brought on the Bama, but the Karban Minchas Nesachim was. What's the Pshat? The Pshat is very Gishmak. I think we've said this concept before. A Minchas Nesachim is not to be viewed as an independent Karban, where now we have a question based on Psukim, if it belongs in the Bama or not. Minchas Nesachim is really attached to the carbon. So if you bring the carbon, the Michas Nesachim comes along. Continues the Gemara. Amar Rav Shimon Omer. Rav Shimon had the strictest view, as we learned, the Braisa. Rav Shimon said that you could only bring a carbon chayva on the Bama in Gilgal, but it had to have one more requirement. It had to be a mincha that's kavu lahem zman, that's limited to a specific time. The best example, as I said before, not mincha, carbon, that's kvulam zman. What would be the two best examples? Carbon Pesach. And I always say the verse, why is the carbon Pesach called a carbon tzibur? Everybody has to bring their own carbon Pesach. The answer is because since it's brought the knufya, Gemara Parag Avi Psachim, all of us have to come together. So that's why it's considered a carbon tzibur and a carbon tamid that's brought every morning and every afternoon. My tamid Reb Shimon. So where does Reb Shimon take this opinion? And therefore, according to Reb Shimon, as I said earlier, a parallel devish of tzibur would not be brought in the bummer. Ask the Gemara, from where does Reb Shimon take this? The ksiv v'yas b'nei Yisrael as a Pesach b'Gilgal. The Klal Yisrael made the carbon Pesach b'Gilgal. And the Rishonim point out that in Masechta Kedushin, there is the opinion of Reb Yishmol, that the fact that Klal Yisrael brought the carbon Pesach in Gilgal, even though the Mishkan wasn't really established, was a Hayraz Shah. So Al Gemara cannot be following that opinion. Because Al Gemara is not making it. So according to Bishmal, that's what the Pasuk is needed to teach us. must be that it was no special dispensation. Says the Gemara Pshita. So of course they brought the Korban Pesach. It's a Korban Tzibur, Hakvulam Zman. What is the pasuk teaching us according to Bishmol? The Chayvis came Pesach with the Korif. Only Chayvis like Korban Pesach, which are Kavulam Zman, may be brought on the Bama and Gilgal. Halav came Pesach. If it's not Kavulam Zman, like Korif. Ask the Gemara and the other man, Domrim, who held that if it's a Korban Chayva, even if it's not Kavulam Zman, may be brought on the Bama and Gilgal, what will he do with this pasuk? Answers the Gemara by Lechad Rabbi Yochanan. He's needed to teach us what Rabbi Yochanan taught us. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Noah Oral Mekabel Hazal, which means as follows. We know that if a person becomes Tamei, he has to have the mixture of the Paraduma ash and the Maim Chaim sprinkled on him. Now let's think about it. Everybody who was in the Midbar was a Tamei Meis. Why was he a Tamei Meis? Because we know everybody's parents passed away in the Midbar, so they all became Tamei Meis. There was no Paradum in the Midbar. And as Rashi and Rishonim go through the history, they arrived in Gilgal on Yud Nisan. Also, while they were in the Midbar, famous Gemara, they did not have a Bris Milah. The Ruach Tzfoinus, which is crucial to have the Milah healed, didn't blow in the Midbar. So when they arrived in Gilgal on Yud Nisan, they couldn't have done the Bris Milah on Yud. They were just arriving. They were weak from travel. So the earliest date they could have done the Bris Milah was on Yud Aleph. Now let's think about it. If they did, the halach is that somebody who has to have the Paraduma mixture sprinkled on him, he needs Hazor Shlishi on the third day. So they had the third day because they were long past 3 days since they left the Midbar. And then they have Hazar Shvi. So how many days have to be between the two Hazars? 4 days. So if we're going to say that a person who's an Oral cannot have Hazars Meipara, and the Mefarshim explain why would I think he can't? Because an Oral is compared to a Metzaira, and a Metzaira is compared to a Tamei Meis. Because just like a Tamei Meis is Metama Boil, so to a Metzaira. So it's counterproductive to do a Hazar and a Tamei Meis if he's still going to be Tamei Meis. So if we're going to say that an Oral can't have Hazar, so how did they bring in Korban Pesach that year? Let's think about it. The Bris was Yud Aleph. So let's say right from the Bris Milah, they went to a Hazar. But they have to wait at least 4 more days for the second Hazar, which would bring them to Tezvav Nisan. When did the Korban Pesach brought? Yud Aleph Nisan. They would have missed it. But the Pasuk says that they did bring a Korban Pesach that year. What must be the proof? That even though they didn't do the Bris Milah until Yud Aleph, the Hazor, they already had on Yud, which is prior to the Bris Milah. And the Pasuk is teaching us that an Oral can have Hazor. That's what the purpose of the Pasuk is, but not to limit us to saying that the Korban Pesach only a Chayva HaKavulam Zman can be brought on Bamas Gilgal. Any Korban Chayva, even if it's not limited to a specific time, may be brought on the Bamas Gilgal. Continues the Gemara. And there are many Gersos in this Gemara. There's Rashi's, there's Taisus, the other Rishonim. We're going to learn with Rashi. Says the Gemara. Tana Tana Kamedra of Adabar Hava. Ein ben Bama Gedoyle Bama Ketana. As we discussed the halachas of a Bama Gedoyle and the halachas of Bama Ketana, what is the difference? Ela Pesach v'choyves hakvum lamzman. And the way Rashi explains it, one has to put a comma between the word Pesach and the words Chayvus HaKavulam Zman. And the way to understand the Gemara is as follows. Korban Pesach, as we just finished learning, is one exception that you could bring on the Bama Gedoyla. And Chayvus HaKavulam Zman. What does Chayvus HaKavulam Zman mean? Omalei, Tiskarge Mesnisach Be'oilus Chayva. That in order for a carbon to be brought on the Bama Gedoyla, it has to be a carbon that's brought both as a chayv and as nedava. What is the example of such a carbon? Carbon oila. Because it's brought every day, the carbon tumbit in the morning and afternoon is a carbon oila. And as we've been discussing, you could bring a carbon oilus nedava. Tiskarge mesnisach, define it regarding a oilus chayva. Dik oilus nadova, you have an oilus nadova and you have oilus chayva. Din chatos yachru, we can't say it's referring to kar b'chatos. Chayvus the kvei lems man mi ika. There is no carbon chayva chatos that has a kvud de gazman. So it must be that it's only referring to carbon oil. Ask the Gemara, but why don't we say that the Bryce is referring to a mincha? Why? Let's think about it, says the Gemara. A mincha, as I said a moment ago, could be brought as an adava. You have to bring a person to donate a carbon mincha. And you can have a mincha that's choyva kvul azman. What's the mincha kvul azman? Every day, the kohen gadol had to bring a carbon mincha made out of nisaron flour. It's called the minchas chavitin, machtzisa ba'boker, machtzisa ba'erev. Half of it was brought in the morning, and half of it was brought in the afternoon. So the Gemara is asking, if we're saying that the criteria of what you could bring is something that has a nedava, a mincha could be brought as a nedava, and it has to be a choiva akvulam zman. So minchas chavitim is a minchas choiva akvulam zman. What's the only problem with this question? Ask all the mefarshim. The minchas chavitim is not a minchas sibur. And we said that the only carbon you could bring on the bama is a carbon tzibur. This isn't the carbon tzibur, it's brought from the kohen gadol. So I saw two answers in the mefarshim. One answer is the fact, as I just said a moment ago, that it's brought every day. The fact that it's brought every day makes it considered like a carbon tzibur, even though it comes out of the carbon, out of the kohen gadol's funds, not out of the tzibur funds. One teretz. But then I saw another teretz from the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach saying, whose opinion are we now analyzing? We're analyzing the opinion of Reb Shimon. And he says, we're going to learn a Gemara Masechta Menachos. The Gemara Masechta Menachos discusses the following scenario. What happens if the Kohen Gadol brought the carbon mincha in the morning, his half, and then Rachman Tzlan, he passed away before he could bring the carbon in the afternoon? And there's no new Kohen Gadol. They haven't yet appointed a new Kohen Gadol. There's a machloikes to Tanakam Reb Shimon. The Tanakam says that the Yorshim of the Kohen Gadol, even though they're not necessarily going to get the position, have to continue bringing the Karban Mincha in the afternoon until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. Reb Shimon, our Reb Shimon, says no. Reb Shimon says that the Tzibur pays for the Michas Chavitin until a new Kohen Gadol is appointed. So since we have a situation that we just identified, says Dar Sameach, where you could have tzibur paying for that carbon mincha, so that's why it's called the carbon tzibur hakavulam zman. And therefore the Gemara's question is, if we're saying that the criteria, what's brought on the Bamas Gilgal, is that it has to be a mincha, it has to be a carbon chayva brought from the tzibur hakavulam zman, and have a corresponding carbon bin the dava. So why isn't the Michas Chavitim fit all of the criteria? Answers the Gemara, Kasavar, this Tana is the Tana that I just mentioned before, Dei Mincha B'Bama. There were no carbon Michas in the Bama, so the question doesn't begin. Rashi asks, that why didn't the Gemara identify Shlomim? Because the Halacha is that on Shavuos, they brought Kifsei Atzeres, which were carbon Shlomim. So let's think about it. It's carbon, it has a corresponding Nedava, Shlomim on the Dova. It's a Chayva. It has to be brought. It's Kavulam Zman on Shavuos. So why did the Gemara only identify Oila? And it's not a Mincha, it's a Behema. So why did the Gemara identify Shlomim? So that should be also another carbon brought, according to Shimon, on the Bamas Gilgal. And to Rashi, there's a very fundamental difference between the Shlomim that a Yochid brings and the Shlomim brought the Kifsei Atzeres. The Kifsei Atzeres are considered Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Shlomim that an individual brings are Kachim Kalim. The Gemara, the Brisa that's defining Rav Shimon's opinion is not going to equate the status of a Kachim Kalim to Kachim Kachim. But Oilus Chayva and the Oilus Nadava are both Kachim Kachim. Continues the Gemara. Baal Shiloh. So the Mishnah said, once they came to Shiloh, the Halacha, the bombs became illegal, and the Mishnah identified saying that Shiloh had stone walls, but material roof. Menahani mili, from where do we know this? It says the Gemara Amar Chiba Abba Amar Yochanan. Kos of Echad Omer, the pasuk describes the Mishkan and Shiloh, the Tivyehu Beis Hashem Shiloh. It's called a bias. The Kos of Echad Omer, the Yitosh Mishkan Shiloh, Oyel Shikein Ba'odam. The Ksiv, and furthermore there's a pasuk, the Yimas Ba'oyel Yosef, or B'Shevet Ephraim Loi Bakar. It's called an oil, not a bias. How do we reconcile? Is it an oil or is it a bias? Ha'ketzat, Lo Hosisham Tikra, it didn't have a solid roof, El Avonim El Mata, it had stone walls, V'Yirias Memalon, V'Hiyos Menucha. That's what's called the Menucha, that we'll discuss in tomorrow's year. So, there's an interesting Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that even though the Gemara is saying it had stone walls, the stone walls only went up 10 tefachim. The rest were in stone. Another interesting vart that I saw from the Chazon Ish, he says, why did it have to have stone walls? Why a Mishkan usually has krushim, as we've been learning the parashas of Shavua. So he says a very interesting pshat. He says, there's a difference between a place that has kedusha because of the makom, or it has kedusha because we make it kadosh. Shiloh was holy because Shiloh was a designated, and we'll understand this better as we get into the shir, as a designated place for the Mishkan. So it doesn't have to have the krushim. The Mishkan in the Midbar, which was traveling, or even the Mishkan in Gilgal and Noi V'Givayim, it wasn't the place that they were on that infused it with Kedusha. And therefore the Kroshim were what infused it with Kedusha. Kotche Kotchim, the Mishnah taught us, by Kotche Kotchim, Menonimili, the Kotche Kotchim could only be eaten within the walls of the Mishkan Shiloh, Kotchim Kalim, as we learned B'chol Aroya, any place that sees it. Menon Amili, Amar B'Yishid Amakra, Hishem Elcha, Pentalo Elasech B'chol Mokam Ashatira, B'chol Mokam Ashatira, Iyatamala, you have no right to bring the carbon B'chol Aroya, Avata Oicha B'chol Mokam Ashatira, to eat the carbon as the Kachim Kalim, as long as it's, as Shiloh is visible, and we'll discuss this a lot more later in the Shir, you're allowed to eat it. And I always repeat, the Machloikis V'achroinim, how to understand B'chol HaRoya. Some Achroinim are of the opinion, I think it's the opinion of the Karen Oira, that just like we have in Yerushalayim, that up to the walls of Yerushalayim is considered Machne Yisrael, Beis Shiloh, it doesn't depend on the city, it depends on up to where you could see it. So it's a din in the Makam. The Makam that you could see Shiloh from is considered within the city boundaries of Shiloh. The Brisker Rav learns differently. He learns that it has nothing to do with the makam. It has to do with the gavra. If the person could see Shiloh, then the halacha is, it's considered b'chol haroya. What would be the poshta nafkamina between the Brisker Rav and the Karen Oira? What happens if there's a place that most people can or can't see Shiloh, and I can or can't? According to the Karen Oira, we have to follow what most people can do, because it's a din of the makam. That makes it a makam kaddish. In the Brisker Rav's pshat, it has nothing to do with the place, it has to do with the person. So if I can see it or you can't, or vice versa, that will depend if I can eat and you can't. Ask the Gemara, who says to teach the pasuk that way? Maybe the way to teach the pasuk is, halah may not take place, but even shchita may, aval at the zareya b'kam makam shatira, Amr Abyani Amakra, Sham Tala, Visham Tasa. The Shchita, as the Achroinim explain, is not considered halah, but it is because the halach is that, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, Shchita Ksheir Bazar, but it is considered a Maisa carbon. The Torah is teaching us that the Maisa carbon, the Shchita, is treated the same way as the halah's carbon, and therefore it has to be in Shiloh itself, not the Kol HaRoya. Rav Avdimi Bachosa Amakra. The pasuk in describing Shiloh says, V'loi ta'ana Shiloh. Ta'ana means somebody was upset. Makam, shekol haroya yisoy. If you stand in the place from where you see Shiloh, mis'ana lov, al achilz kachim Shiloh. You're upset. So as the Mefarshim explained, we're going to begin now a piece of Gemara. It's important to put this into concept. The Mefarshim explained that we're going to begin a Gemara now that teaches us where we take this halach of Kol HaRoya. We're going to quote Pesukim. Say the Mefarshim, of course, this is a Messiah, it's a Halach L'Moshe Messinai, that by Shiloh you're allowed to eat Kachem Kalim B'Kol Haroya. That's the basis. The Gemara is only looking for an Asmachta from a Pasuk. So what the Gemara is saying is that when a person eats carbon, it's enjoyable. You get a steak. It's enjoyable. So the Gemara is saying, Tana Shiloh, when you stood in this place from where you could see Shiloh, you're upset. Why are you upset? Because you remember the Kabbanis you were able to eat, and now you no longer can eat them. Rabbi Avu Amakra, Shiloh was in the Chalik of Yosef. Ben Pyrus Yosef, Ben Pyrus Ari Ayin. Ayin Shiloh Rotsul Lozun, Bidovish Ena Shiloh. Yosef Atzadik, who refused to partake of something that isn't his, Tisk of Atoch Kamalai Ena. So Pashup Shat, the way most Mepharshim explain, is Yosef refused to have relations with his wife, with the wife of Potiphar, because it wasn't his wife. So he used his wife, he used his eyes properly. That's why his zaycha, the kemole einayim, you could eat kachikalim. And as the morale explains the Gemara, is that wherever we find somebody separates himself from gashmius that he's not supposed to have, that's where you could have ruchnius. Who is the paradigm of separating himself from prohibited gashmius? Yosef. Eishes Potiphar was osa to him. So he was zaycha to have ruchnius. What is ruchnius? Eating kabonis. Eating kabonis brings kapara. But I saw a gevalde gevart. A gevalde gevart from the Pnei Menachem. It certainly isn't posh pshat in the Gemara, but it's worth repeating. He says, everybody posh pshat learns in the Gemara that Yosef didn't have relations with Eishes Potiphar. That's why he didn't. He was zoicha to have this halacha of kol haroya of Shiloh. He says, we find a different characteristic by Yosef. He says, we know that Yosef was the second in command of Mitzrayim. And we remember the Pesukim in Chumash, he says, where all the people in Mitzrayim, because of the terrible hunger, were impoverished, and they needed food, and they brought everything that they had to Yosef. Just give us food. They brought their cattle, they brought their real estate, they brought anything they owned. They needed to survive. So he says, what do many people who are government officials in such a powerful position do? They take some of the money and they put it in their own pocket. What do we find by Yosef? That every penny that he received, he knew it wasn't his. It belonged to Paroi. And he was honest and gave every penny to Paroi. Ayin, he says, he said, this money isn't mine. It belongs to the government. He paid, he gave the government what it deserved. That's why he was zaycha to this. Rabbi Yosef Bechanin Amar, the Pasuk says, regarding Yosef, again, Yosef that refused to have enough of something that doesn't belong to his. Because the area of Kol Haroya Shiloh, if you have good eyesight, could go past the boundaries of Yosef. So we find a very interesting situation. That people are eating kabonis that were brought in Mishkan Shiloh, which is in Shevet Yosef's chalik, in the chalokim of other shvatim. Why is Yosef zoicha to this? Because he didn't treat his brothers like they treated him. And therefore, he was worthy to this. Tana, says the Gemara. And now the Gemara begins to discuss in depth, what is the definition of roya? So firstly, I saw Grada the Mepharshim say that roya means that you see without glasses. If you need eyeglasses or you need binoculars, that's not what roya means. Then I saw the Mepharshim ask an obvious question. As I said, we're about to start learning a piece of Gemara, trying to define what is the definition of roya and what is the obvious question. It was a one-time event, Mishkan Shiloh. It's not going to happen again. So what's the difference what roya is or isn't? It has no halachic nafkamina. So I saw three pshatim. One pshat is that the halacha is that somebody facing the Beis HaMikdash, this is relevant b'zman hazeh, has to go with tremendous kavod. How far is it considered that you're facing the Beis HaMikdash? You know, we're on the other side of the world. Does it mean that we're facing the Beis HaMikdash? It's b'kol haroya. So we need to know what is b'kol haroya. A second shot is regarding Hilchas Birchas Hanenim. The halacha is as follows. Comes up. Let's say you're eating in a yard, in a field, in a park. that doesn't have a wall around it. If it has a wall around it, it seems in halacha, we're not learning Hilchos Brachos today, but it seems in halacha that makes it considered one place. But let's say it doesn't have a wall around it, and you begin eating your meal in one place, and then you walk away, and you're now in another place. Could the bracha that you made in the first place be okay for the second place? It depends if you could see from the second place the first place, b'chol aroya. So knowing what the definition of b'chol aroya becomes very relevant, b'chol sanenim. Rabbi Aaron Leib Shteyman, in the Sefer Yalos HaShachar, I think we have to remember, especially as we start finishing Masechta Zvachim. He says, when you learn Masechta Zvachim, every daf of the Gemara, you have to remember, as if, even though we're not able to do the Kabbonis, but learning about them as if we do it. So that's why we have to know what B'chol Aroya is, because it's like we're eating the Kabbonis, even though physically we're not. Right. Tana, Roya Sh'amra, Roya Kula, that you could see the entire city, V'loya Mafsik, Beinoy LeBeinoy, not that there's any obstruction in between. Amalei Shim Ben Yochum Rav Elazar, Asbrolok, I'll give you an example. Kigoyim Be'i Knishta Demoyim. You could see the Be'i Knishta Demoyim that you could see from there, anywhere that you could see the Be'i Knishta Demoyim, it's a tall edifice, that's considered B'chol Aroya. Amra Papa, continues Rav Papa saying, Roya Sh'amra Loy Roya Kula, you don't have to see the entire Mishkan, El Roya Miktsasa. Even if you just see part of it, it's considered Roya. Ask the Gemara, Bari Rapapa, Omed V'Roya, when you stand, you see, Yoshev Ein Roya, but when you sit, you don't see. Mai, Walbir Alochem. And the Sfasemis explains, the way to understand this question, that has no less than three options. One option maybe is, that if you only see it standing, and you don't see it sitting, then you can't eat at all. Why? Because you're not supposed to eat standing. So if you can only see it when you're standing, that means you shouldn't eat it not standing nor sitting. Another pshat in the Gemara is that if you could see it standing, then you're allowed to eat standing and sitting. And a third pshat in the Gemara, says the Sfasem, is all included in what the Gemara means, is that if you see it standing and not sitting, you'll be allowed to eat standing, and you won't be allowed to eat when you're sitting. Another question. If you stand by the beach, v'roya. But b'toich ha'nachal, if you go into the stream, v'ein roya. Mai. What's the halacha? And the Gemara remains a teiku. And here too, there's a machlokes ha'mefarshim, how to understand Rabbi Yirmiyah's question. Some mefarshim explain Rabbi Yirmiyah's question is an independent question. Nothing to do with the previous question. Others say that Rabbi Yirmiyah, the way to understand Rabbi Yirmiyah is a imtim tzloimer. Imtim tzloimer, and there's two ways of learning the imtim tzloimer. Imtim tzloimer, that when you're standing, you see. That's good enough, because from the spot that you're standing, you could see it. But here, you're not seeing it from the spot that you're standing. You can only see it from the beach, and now you're not in the beach, you're in the nachal. And therefore, even if we'll be mekel in the previous shayla, here we'll have to be machmer. Others say just the opposite. Oymid v'yoshev are much different than toicha nachal, and on the beach, because nobody stands in the nachal. The nachal is part really supposed to be on the beach, and therefore toicha nachal should be treated like the beach. It says the Gemara. Kiyos Rav Dimi Amar Rebbe. B'shlosh mekaymus shor seshchina Yisrael. There were three places the Shechina was on Kal Yisrael. B'shiloi, v'nev, v'givayn, or beis halumen. U'v'kulam, in all of these places, lo shor se'el b'chelik b'nyamin. The Shechina was always in Chelik Binyamin. Shenemar, Choyfef Olof Kol Ayoyim. Kol Chafifais, when the Shechina dwells, Lo Yehei El B'chelik Binyamin. So I sort of mafarshim explain why was Binyamin Zoycha to this. There are many pshatim. One pshat is because Binyamin was the only Shevet that was born in Eretz Yisrael. Another pshat is because Binyamin was the only Shevet that didn't participate in Mechiras Yosef. A third pshat, again, we have to say Kaviyachal, there's always a special affinity from a parent to their youngest child. Why? Because after everybody leaves, the youngest child is usually the one left at home, and he stays with the parent even after he gets married. Binyamin was Yaakov's youngest child. Says the Gemara, Ki azal Abaya, when Abaya came, Amra kameder of Yosef. He repeated this halach, this memory that Rav Dimi said to Rav Yosef. Amma, chad bro havel l'kayel. So Rabbi Yosef said, Kail, this now we know that the father's name of Abai was Kailul. Kailul had one son, Veloy Miskin. and he doesn't know what he's talking about. So I saw the Mefarshim make two horrors. First of all, why was Rabbi Yosef so sharp with Abaya? Abaya wasn't saying his own memra. He was repeating what he heard from Rabbi Dimi. So Mefarshim say, just because it's not your own halacha, but if you're repeating it, that doesn't mean you're allowed to say something that doesn't make sense. If you're repeating something for somebody else, it has to make sense also. And then they go on and say, okay, Rabbi Yosef, as we'll see right now, wasn't satisfied with Abaya saying. But why do you deserve such sharp words? So Farshim go on to say, Rabbi Yosef wasn't just doing it to ridicule him. He was doing it because he wanted Abaya to pay attention to what he says and be careful what he says. V'ksiv, v'yitesh mishkin shiloi, v'ksiv v'yimas ba'al Yosef, v'b'shema Ephraim loy bacher, which all indicate that there was Shechina, not just in Chelik Binyamin, but there was Shechina also in Chelik Yosef, Mishkan Shiloi. Amar Rav Ada, says Rav Ada, Maika Kashalei, why is Rav Yosef so disturbed? Dama, Shechina was in Chelik Binyamin, U Sanhedrin Gedoyla was in Chelik Yosef. Midam Atzinu, just like we find the Beis Halomim, in the Beis HaMikdash, the Shechina was Bechelk of Shebinyamin, the Sanhedrin, Bechelk Yehuda. So why is this such a, that's why he was disturbed. Could be that the Shechina was the Binyamin, and they boarded with Yosef, that's where the Sanhedrin was. So Mefarshim explained, it's crucial, obviously, that the Gemara says it, that the Sanhedrin has to be Lex to the Mizbeach, the Lishkas HaGozes, was right by the Mizbeach, but why can't they be in the same place? So I saw two different pshatim. One pshat that I saw is that Sanhedrin represents people. The humans are the members of the Sanhedrin. Mizbeach represents Shechina. It's not the proper Derech Eretz that people and the Shechina should be in the same spot. But then I saw a different pshat. If you would have the Shechina and the Sanhedrin both in the same chelik, what would that mean? That would be a situation of Torah v'gedula v'makom echad. Torah is the Sanhedrin, Gedula is the Shechina. If we would have Torah v'gedula v'makom echad, the Mashiach would have to come. And Hashem decided that it's not yet time for Mashiach, and therefore we couldn't have Torah v'gedula v'makom echad. Amalei, so he said, Hachi hashta, you can't ask this question. Because by the Beis HaMikdash, Hassam Mikrevin Nachlis, the Chelik of Binyamin and the Chelik of Yehuda were next to each other. Hassam Mikrevin Nachlis Kabadadi, Hachami Mikrevin, and as the Mashah explains, even though, and that's going to be part of the Gemara's Teretz, we do find that Shevet Yosef and Shevet Binyamin shared a border, but we don't find the city that they shared. Yerushalayim was shared by Yehuda and Binyamin. There is no city, the Gemara and the Havamina says, was shared by Yosef, Shevet Ephraim to be a little more exact, and Binyamin, says the Gemara, no, Hachinami Mikrevin. The same situation that we had in the Beis HaMikdash with Yehuda and Binyamin being neighbors, we had in Shiloh. Kedamar Rav Chama b'Chanina, Ritzuai Siyoitz Mechelka SheYehuda, there was a portion going out from the Shevet Yehuda's territory, V'nechneset L'chelka SheBinyamin, U'bahay B'zbeach Bani, V'ay Binyamin at Tzadik Mitztar L'Levala. Binyamin was upset that it wasn't in his share. Hachinami, similarly, we say, Ritzua haisa yaitz mechalkish yaisiv lechalkish binyamin. V'hanid eksif tana shiloi. What was the tana? Binyamin, as we said on top of the omid, the word tana was upset. Binyamin was upset that all of Shiloi wasn't in his territory and therefore it was partially in Shevet Binyamin. Ketanai says the Gemara, this is really machloik tanoim. The Pasuk says, chayfe falof. The Pasuk says regarding Shevet Binyamin, zemek deshrishin. Ko ayoim. So according to this explanation, Shiloi wasn't the Chelik Binyamin. Only the Beis HaMikdash Rishon, Beis HaMikdash Sheni, and the Beis HaMikdash that we're waiting for by Mashiach. Whereas Rebbe holds, that all of the Beis HaMikdash, Ba'olam Hazeh, were in Shevet Binyamin. According to this opinion, even the Mizbeach Shiloi wasn't Chelik Binyamin.